Views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Bob's going to move on to do some other things, but hopefully we'll see him back on the other side of the glass very soon, Bob. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's been a delight to work with you. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is the 27th of September, 2019. We're live, of course, here during the noon hour, have been since January of 2011, and we're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts conveniently archived for you at buckmastershow.com. We usually have the podcast up within an hour or two after each program. Our media partners, Friday, I like to do a big shout-out to some of our media partners who make an extra effort to post links to the Buckmaster Show, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, which includes Tucson Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, and the Oro Valley Explorer. Our Friday focus interview today, City of Tucson Transportation Director Diana Alarcon, who was hired 1 year ago this upcoming November. She comes to Tucson via Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Joining me in studio for our conversation, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good to see you back in studio with us. And Diana, welcome to Tucson.
Thank you very much.
How are you settling in, and how do you compare what you've seen here with Fort Lauderdale?
It's not as green, I'll say that.
That's
but,
for sure. Not as humid.
But not as humid, and I appreciate that. Having some great hair days, so I can't complain whatsoever. But you cannot beat the sunsets.
Mm-hmm.
The sunsets are absolutely amazing here, and especially, you know, with the rain coming in across and the sun setting, it's just magnificent.
Do you see some similarities between the Fort Lauderdale area and Tucson? I know that Fort Lauderdale had some real issues with, as we do, with pedestrian safety.
I think pedestrian safety is a challenge everywhere in the nation right now, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the roadways are designed to move cars, and there was not at the time the consideration taken in how we are going to move people on feet or people on bicycles and those other modes that are available for the roadway. So I think that's the challenge everyone's feeling across the nation. And they're no different here. But I will share with you what is really exciting about Tucson is the Hawk, which was actually invented here and actually was born here. And that is something I was really excited that I had just put in before I left South Florida. And it was the first one around town. The Hawk. And it's something that's very prominent here in Tucson. So Tucson's progressive.
I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing something. What is the Hawk?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought everybody knew what the Hawk was.
The reason I'm in this business is to learn something every day. And I'm about to learn. What's the Hawk?
Do you carry that saying, if you learn something, you get to go home?
Like that. There you
go. So the Hawk is actually the light that is along the street that is strictly pedestrian driven. When you hit the button, it goes red and allows the pedestrian the opportunity to cross. As the vehicles come to a complete stop.
Okay.
And then the pedestrian has that opportunity, or bicyclist, to actually cross the street.
Uh-huh.
And then the cars can move on. So it's a little bit different than the street lights because it's typically not at a signalized intersection. Uh-huh. It's actually in the sometimes mid-block, or sometimes it is at a street intersection. Mm. But the vehicular traffic is not maneuvered through the Hawk. It's strictly pedestrian driven.
And that started here in Tucson?
That started here in Tucson.
Sarah, did you know of this?
I have to say that yes, I did.
Wow.
Dr. Nasser actually was actually an employee with the City of Tucson's Transportation Department, was actually the inventor of it. And so it is something that is adopted by AASHTO and by the Federal Highway Administration. It just it's used quite often here, and it's a great tool that allows for that pedestrian safety to happen.
Bob Dio, did you know about the Hawk? Or did you learn, like I did today, about it? You learned as well. Okay, Bob learned about that as
so
well.
So we all get to go home.
Yeah, we all get. What is that's an acronym then for?
It does. Please don't ask me what it's
okay.
short
right.
for. It's
high thank you, intensity, Michael Graham. High intensity activated crosswalk. There you go. All right. Well, now that I've learned something, how about you, Sarah?
So you've been here about a year, and I'm just wondering, how do you, as a transportation official and someone that this is, you know, your area of expertise, not to mention just someone getting around town, how do you compare Tucson roads to other places? Do we have a worse impression of our own roads compared to other places, or is everyone full of potholes?
So I have to say the dynamics here are very different than you find on the East Coast. And what I mean by that is, you know, because we actually receive less rain than normal around the United States, the roadway was designed to move water, and that actually deteriorates the asphalt. And that's part of the scenario. The other part is, you know, there's been, I want to say, years when the recession hit and stuff, that cost of maintaining the roads may have fallen to the side to be able to make sure other initiatives moved forward, that has caused the roads to be in a little bit more challenging state than they are, than we would all want them to be. We are working on trying to put together a plan of how we can tackle. It is very challenging right now with the roads and the conditions that they are, and we recognize that. And I also hear that this is something that the community would like for us to find a way to fix. But I tell everyone I can do about anything anyone wants if I had the pocketbook to do it. And that is the reality, is where do we best spend our dollars to get it done. So we're working on a game plan that we're hoping that we'll have a chance in the next few months to take to our Bond Oversight Commission, who's currently overseeing our Prop 101 projects that are going on. And then also, as we move forward with introducing our mobility master plan to the community and talk about what we want to look like and how we want to plan our transportation system to have a balanced transportation, we want to include the roadway and the condition of the roadway as part of that conversation. One of the things I heard very loud before I got here and when I got here is, we want to be a multimodal city. And if you want to be a multimodal city, you have to create that atmosphere for all those modes to move safely. And that's for the pedestrian, the bicycle, the car, the trucks that move the goods, for the streetcar that we have, and we're hopefully can expand here soon. So we have to find a way to make that safe. And that's going to be looking at what condition can the roads be in? Where do we want to put the water? Because we now know we get more rain than we have in the past, and that's flooding the streets, and that's deteriorating the streets and creating even a bigger problem, bigger issue. So we're taking that challenge head on, and we're working on a plan that we'll actually be introducing here pretty soon about maybe some options and a path to follow to start making some corrections to that or improvements.
So are sidewalks within your purview in the transportation department?
In what aspect?
Like the sidewalks where it looks like there's a mountain in the middle of it because they've bowed, or sidewalks that go and you're cruising along and then they end. And then they pick back up, because I'm thinking for people that I know who are wheelchair users,
right,
that it's really a problem getting around.
Right. So really right now, we actually have an ordinance on the book that's in Chapter 25 that actually puts the onus and the responsibility of the maintenance of the sidewalks on the adjacent property. But there are some areas, especially around transit stops and situations, that we are actually going out and correcting the sidewalks if they're a problem. In the mobility master plan, we're hoping we'll address those areas where the sidewalk just comes to an end. And I had a chance to experience that myself this morning. I actually was out with the Los Amigos Elementary School. They actually did a safe route to walk this morning. They had over 300 kids and parents out there.
And the pavement ended.
And the sidewalk was great. And then we got to a point and it just ended. And we were all walking on dirt.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, But that's what Safe Routes to School is about. So it's a grant that we're receiving. We're looking at actually building. And also in our upcoming Prop 407 that the community recently passed, we're doing a shared use path as well along that way that will, again, promote that safe movement of bicycles and pedestrians on the road, beside the roadway. But that is a challenge, and that's because past decisions were made long before my time, long before probably all of our time sitting in the room here, that sidewalks weren't going to be built. And now we're taking a different position and understanding the value that they bring. And it also provides that safe path, and it gives people a chance to make a different choice.
All right. When we come back with Diana Alarcón, we will talk about Proposition 101. That was the prop that was approved in May by the City of Tucson voters, May of 2017. It was known as Tucson Delivers. It was a five-year half-cent transaction privilege tax to fund street improvements and public safety investments. I want to get an update from Diana on that. Where are we right now, and where do we go from there as we continue on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview? Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star also with me. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today with the City of Tucson Transportation Director, Diana Alarcón. Diana began her tenure as Transportation Director back in November of last year. So coming up on just about a year heading up the City of Tucson Transportation Department. I want to get an update on this Proposition 101 that was passed in May of 2017, the five-year program. What have been some of the signature projects, Diana, that really have been completed, and what still needs to be done?
So just real quick, to recap about Prop 101, it is a $225 million
package
mm-hmm. in which $110 million is being designated to go toward the roadway improvements. It is actually broken up over the 5 years, and 60% of the $110 million is to go toward arterial roads, and 40% is to go toward our... So far, we've been successful in completing what we're calling Package 1 of our arterial roads, which I think everyone's noticed is the improvements on Star Pass that we've completed. La Cholla mm-hmm. Boulevard as well. Congress between Silverbell and Grand have been done, and Speedway as well, Painted Hill to Greasewood. So mm-hmm. those are the areas that we've accomplished in Package 1. Our arterial Package 2 is currently underway. We just finished up River Road from Oracle to First Avenue, and Roger Road from First Avenue to Wilson, and we're working on Runway Drive now. On our residential streets, we've completed a Package 1, which was Green Acres Estate, Tanque Verde Acres, and Tanque Verde Country Estate. We're working on residential Package 2 at the moment. It's actually out to procurement. We're going through the procurement process right now, getting ready to actually award to a contractor. We just do not have that finalized, that I can't speak about it yet, mm-hmm. but that we're looking to finalize here very soon in the next few weeks, and then look at starting that in construction. And that's going to cover Julia Keene to Country Club Park, Mission Manor and Elvira from Mission Manor to Rita Manor, and the West Side Development and A Mountain area as well. So we're moving forward, and we're doing really good, so I'm really proud of the team.
What about expanding this after 5 years?
Well,
that's... like a renewal.
Well, that's one of the reasons we're
kind of putting... Package number two.
That's one of the reasons we're putting together that big picture to share with the community to understand what it's going to take mm-hmm. to actually do more of the roads and get them done. So, again, I said in a couple months that'll be a conversation we'll start having with the community as a whole of what that looks like and what it's going to take.
Sarah?
So when you're, this is just sort of a general question, when you are being a transportation professional, when you're stuck in traffic, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking like the rest of us, you know, I wish I could get through this intersection, or do you have that sort of analysis hat on?
Well, I walk a lot, so I'm one of those, but when I am in traffic, or when I'm actually driving somewhere, I do two things. I am very conscientious about our traffic signal. I have a great team in place that is doing phenomenal things, also in cooperation with the University of Arizona, on how we can actually improve the amount of input we put through a traffic intersection of vehicle as a whole. Because we have no highway system, and that is actually something that our council has asked us to look in, is how we can create like an east-west highway system that would allow people to move and not be stuck in traffic lights. So we are taking a look at that. We're actually working on a study through that ADOT did about 15 years ago. We're looking at updating it to see what it would take to make move that forward. That's one of the things that I think about. The other thing is, what can I do with these traffic signals to make them work with today's technology so we can move people quicker, more efficient through it, instead of being stuck at a red light that has nobody at the intersection for 3 minutes, which is the current timing sequence set on the traffic light. So yes, that does go through my head. And we're working on that game plan as well. Again, we can do all of this stuff. The technology's out there. The resources are out there. It's funding is always our biggest challenge. So we do have some dollars. How can we best utilize those dollars to move those, provide that service? So we're getting ready to do a test in partnership with the U of A, where we're going to be doing a loop, and we're going to be putting the traffic signals on real time. And what that means is they won't be running on a time sequence. It'll be running on an analog system that the U of A has actually been working on for us. So based on traffic demand times. So we're now collecting data on traffic hitting certain particular areas, and they will ride a system timing to meet that on the traffic. My long-term goal is to actually put cameras up and do a detection and have adaptive signalization where the cameras will actually say, wow, they're going east-west, but there's 9 people wanting to go north-south, end on that. Mm. And then when the traffic moves through, it switches back.
Is that available, that kind of technology?
It is available, but it's very expensive.
I bet.
And so...
a lot of stuff is available, right?
So
but if you got to pay for it. If you had an unlimited budget, probably.
I tell everybody, you want me to get it done, open your checkbooks.
yes.
But we can do some things with have, and mm-hmm. that's what we're working on, and that's with the U of A and working on some of those timing sequences that are based on what's happening today with the peak times that we feel will have some efficiencies. And then we'll measure and evaluate that. And if we're seeing the success, then we will continue to push that forward. But that requires us to get all our traffic action. And that is something we will actually finish doing probably in January.
And why is it important? Because Tucson's the largest city in the United States without a dedicated freeway that is not part of the interstate system.
Right.
So getting those signals right can really move some help move traffic. Let's go to Matt. He's called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, first, I compliment you guys. I know you guys are working hard on stuff. My specific question is regarding the traffic lights, the addition of this yellow blinking thing on the major intersections. Is it possible that, where did that idea come from? What is it working, and could it possibly be considered sensory overload? Because a lot of people see it, and I don't know if it's blinking or permanent, I can't remember right now, but it causes people to think it's safe to make a left turn when, in fact, the traffic coming at you is still has a green. I assume you know what I'm talking about, and I'll leave it at that. Could you talk about that? And I just caution that it just seems like it's causing sensory overload for a lot of Tucsonans. Thank you.
That's a good question, that blinking yellow light. And Matt was saying he didn't know if it was actually blinking or stationary. It is blinking.
Yes.
And where does that come from, and is it working? Or?
Well, I think there is some confusion.
Yeah.
So I think we need to do a better job educating the community on what it means. But let's just start with some of the basics. Yellow means what?
Caution.
Stop. Proceed with caution.
Sure.
A flashing yellow means the same thing.
Yep.
Stop. Proceed with caution.
Yes.
If you're making a left turn, and that's typically where you'll find the blinking yellow, and you're wanting to make that left turn, you have to, by that yellow light, stop and make sure that you do not have any traffic coming in the other direction before you proceed forward.
Correct.
But what it allows you to do is proceed forward once the intersection is clear, or once the oncoming traffic, which has the right-of-way, actually clears, it allows traffic. The benefit of that is it allows traffic to move.
Yes.
So it allows the intersection to flow better than in the past. Mm-hmm. It is a bit confusing for some folks, and we're trying different ways of messaging it so people understand. But if we just go back to what our basic red, yellow, and green means you can go, you have the right-of-way, you can move safely ahead, based on the speed limit that's established. Yelling with caution, and at times you need to stop because you do not have the right of way. And of course, red means a complete stop, and you need to wait until you have either a green or yellow to proceed.
And there is a blinking green as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be...
But the blinking green will only happen when you have the right of way.
Okay.
That's the difference. A blinking green means that you have the right of way. The oncoming traffic is actually stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the right-of-way. That's what the green means. When the yellow's on, you do not have the right-of-way, but you have the right to proceed through the right-of-way if it is available and clear and safe.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Sarah?
Well, I'm wondering, you mentioned cameras at the intersections, and with the left turns, so many people are just cruising right through the red light while people are trying to turn left. What, if anything, can be done about that? Is can we bring the traffic cameras back? I don't know if there's, I mean, people should know it's a red light. You just need to stop, not speed up and go barrel through the intersection.
Right. You know, legislation at the state actually regulates that, not us. So, there's mixed feelings on red light camera. And you can go either way with it, but red light cameras have shown to actually reduce the number of crashes that occur at intersections. But there's the other side of it that make people very uncomfortable, and and they feel like there should be a police officer sitting there that's actually writing the ticket versus a camera. So, but right now, state legislation has actually said it's illegal, so that's why we're not actually moving in that direction.
Mm.
So we're going to have to practice other up with other different engineering ideas to try to promote that safety, but. For those who are out there listening, when you have red, please stop.
Yeah, I do wonder because, like, when you're in the line to turn left, it seems that now people wait to make sure, because assuming people are just going to go through, and it slows everything up.
And, you know, and so there are some intersections where we are leaving it red, the turning signal red, and that's particularly where we have a high number of pedestrians. I want to add one thing real quick.
Go ahead.
If you are at an intersection that has a blinking yellow light to do a left turn, and a pedestrian does come and hit the button to make a walk, your light will go red. So there will be priority. So if you're a pedestrian out there and you're listening today, please make sure you hit that button, because that's what tells the driver you're going to be in that intersection, and it will not allow them. It'll turn their light red, so it gives you the freedom to actually move in the right of way and not have that conflict. So please hit those buttons for us out there.
All right.
So thank you.
Let's see if we can work in Roberta real quickly here. We're just about out of time. Roberta, go ahead. No, we don't have Roberta. Okay, that's fine. I've got a quick question about the Broadway widening plan. How's that coming?
It's coming along great. We've actually have selected a contractor, Ashton. Thank you. I'm still learning everybody.
Sure, I understand.
So forgive me for that.
Yeah.
Is our new contractor that will actually be doing it. We currently are moving utilities along Broadway today, so you will see some work going on out there. And we are looking to start in early spring with the actual construction of the project as a whole.
And that was a project that was took a lot of scrutiny. Folks were saying it was too wide originally, so this is a scaled-down kind of project, right?
Right. So this is an RTA project,
right,
that the voters approved back in 2006, but there was a lot of discussion that came from the community as it was being planned, and it was originally supposed to be widened to 8 lanes, but it is being widened to 6 lanes. It's including a bike lane and improvements of the sidewalks, lighting, and that pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular movement as a whole.
And before we say goodbye, the city transportation department is working with the Tucson Police. This is a big priority, trying to expand efforts to boost pedestrian and bicycle safety. And one thing that your office just put out today is a note for drivers. Our sunset now is during drive time. So the glare is there when a lot of folks are going home. So be extra cautious,
right,
when you're coming up to some of those pedestrian areas.
Please, you know, the road is actually is meant for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be respectful of each other, no matter what mode we're using on the roadway. Be cognizant, if you're a driver out there, be cognizant of your surroundings, of the bicyclists or the pedestrians. And pedestrians, please, and bicyclists, please act defensively around the vehicles to make sure that they see you, because we do want everyone to go from point A to point B.
And SunTran is on your portfolio now, and overall things are looking better. You're taking a look at routes and
we are
changing maybe some capacity on some of the lesser used routes.
We're always exploring those opportunities of how we can actually improve the overall transit operation, provide better service to the community as a whole. If I had an open checkbook, I could provide everything. So I do have limited dollars, but where are those efficiencies in the operations that we can actually apply to provide that better service? And that's something we're always looking at.
Diana Alarcon, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right.
It was nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you as well. And Sarah Gart-Gasson sticks around. We have our roundtable portion of the program. Luigi Del Porto is going to join us from Phoenix, from the Arizona Capital Times. Lots to talk about with Luigi, including a well-known sheriff, one-time well-known sheriff in Maricopa County, would like another shot at it at age 87. So we'll find out about what Sheriff Joe is up to from Luigi right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on our Friday, the 27th of September already. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, editorial page editor and columnist for Southern Arizona's largest newspaper. That would be the Arizona Daily Star. And with us on the live line from Phoenix, Luigi Del Puerto. Luigi oversees the editorial and business units of Arizona News Service, which publishes among one of their, I think they've got three publications, actually the Arizona Capital Times. Let's see if I get this right, Luigi. The Yellow Sheet Report and Legislative Report. Is that about it for your portfolio? There you go.
Yep, you got it. Yep.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm happy it's Friday, and the weather is just almost perfect. We're almost there.
Yeah, well, Phoenix finally got some rain this summer, or actually it turned out to be early fall before you got it. You had a good rain up there, which is good. We had some good rain here, too. I want to begin, and this is an appropriate topic, Luigi, because we just had a conversation here with City of Tucson, the new transportation director, relatively new, completing 1 year. Sarah and I were talking with her about transportation. And in the news today, Arizona's 18-cent a gallon gasoline tax would double under legislation that's being crafted by a Republican, Representative Noel Campbell of Prescott. Does this thing have any legs to it, Luigi?
Well, that's a really tough question. You know, you are right. Representative Noel Campbell is pushing this, the doubling of the state's gas tax. He's tried it this year. And, you know, he could get it out in some communities, but just could not get it out in others. The big problem, of course, is that you have a legislature that's still quite conservative, especially when it comes to fiscal matters. And that means you have Republicans who really dislike the idea of raising taxes, no matter what that tax is. And, you know, the gas tax is one of them. And so it's a roundabout way of saying it's hard to discern at this moment whether this one has legs. I can tell you, for example, that if the governor in any way signals or indicates that he is for this idea, that might change the equation in the state legislature. Right now, however, he's also not raising the gas force. His whole campaign was predicated on not raising taxes. And so I think it's going to be a really difficult push.
But that gas tax, Sarah, has been around a long time.
Yeah, and it hasn't increased for years and years. And it's something that I know communities have talked about, like Chuck Huckleberry, our Pima County mm-hmm. administrator, has mentioned this is a way to possibly increase funding for roads and maintenance and road repair. But I just can't see it going anywhere in the legislature. I think it's something that we do need to be mindful of, that as you need less fuel for your car because mileage is increased, that does affect the revenue. But also it's something that everyone who owns a car and has to put gas or diesel in it, it would affect us directly. So it wouldn't be, so someone who drives a Mercedes would be paying the same as someone who drives, a 1993 Honda Accord. Mm-hmm. Because it would affect people in different ways and according to, what percentage of their income that would be. But I just, with Governor Ducey running not only on not raising taxes, but cutting taxes, I have a hard time imagining that he would get behind something like this, even if it is needed.
And it would take, Luigi, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would take, when you start talking about altering a tax in Arizona, it would take 2/3 vote of both the House and Senate, correct?
It would, because the state law, the Constitution says that if you are going to enact something that would result in a net increase in state revenue, regardless of whether that's, $1 or, a couple $100 million, you need a 2/3 vote.
So that's going to be certainly an uphill battle. Want to switch gears here. Sheriff Joe, what's this about him running again at age 87?
You can't see me, but I'm chuckling here.
No, I can hear you chuckling.
Because Sheriff Joe is Sheriff Joe. He's carved out this identity, which I don't think he can personally separate himself from it, which is the identity of the county, the Maricopa County Sheriff. And so, yes, you're right. He's thinking about running again for a county sheriff. The sort of the consensus of the chattering class is that he's not going to win. And he's not going to win for all the baggages that he has. The fact that a lot of people believe the county has moved on.
That election's next year, right?
I believe that election is next year, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think someone like that, and I think we've all seen people in public life and who we may know personally. I mean, what else is Sheriff Joe going to do? He's not going to take up macrame.
No.
He needs something. Strikes me as one of those people that needs to be fed by the publicity, and he needs that constant adoration and to be relevant. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah. I can imagine it's a real withdrawal for somebody who's been in the spotlight for this long to suddenly, not have cameras in front of him, like almost on a daily basis. But so here's the thing about Sheriff Joe. There is a contingency of Republicans who believe in Sheriff Joe and sort of a tough immigration, approach, who believe that he should be in charge of the county as a sheriff, and who would. In fact, who voted for him for the U.S. Senate last time we had an election for the U.S. Senate. He got, like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, around, almost 117,000 votes, 17-18% of the primary electorate voted for him. So he has that contingent, but like I mentioned, the consensus is that...
Luigi Del Porto from the Arizona Capital Times with us on the live line. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio from the Arizona Daily Star. Luigi, what's the latest on this measure to make Arizona, the first really red state, and you could argue that we've become a purple state, but kind of when you compare the other states that have marijuana as all marijuana pretty much legalized as a recreational drug, you've got, I think, there's 10 states, and we would be the 11th, and we would be, I think, the most conservative of those states. Does it look like this is going to, they've got enough signatures to get this on the ballot for 2020, Luigi?
Yeah, well, I think they will get more than enough signatures to get a very well-financed campaign. And really what you need to get something on the ballot is a well-financed campaign, and so they will get this on the ballot. So, you know, one thing about Arizona, I think you mentioned conservative, and you're absolutely correct, we're conservative, but we are also quite libertarian. And we've always had this sort of spirit that animates or permeates our politics and also really our society here in Arizona that says, like, look, we're kind of okay with, recreational marijuana. And I think we voted for recreational marijuana, decades ago. So to answer your question, I think this is a real shot of not just getting on the ballot, but actually getting passed and approved by the voters.
Would there be the legislature perhaps putting a marijuana law, passing their own marijuana law before that proposition, before folks could vote on it? In other words, we've got an upcoming legislative session here in January. What if the lawmakers decide we're going to jump the gun on this?
Well, there is a lot of discussion about the legislature just going ahead and doing it. And then for those folks who are pushing for it, there are obvious advantages in their minds, one of which is that if it's the legislature enacting a law, they could amend it whenever they see, unforeseen consequences, some problems. They could update it and tweak it. And in that way, you know, this law and modifying it would be more flexible. So there is a number of legislators who are seriously thinking, why don't we just go ahead and do it ourselves? The problem with that, of course, is that, you still have a fairly conservative legislature and a good number of really conservative districts that would look at recreational marijuana with disdain. So that's, that's sort of the politics of it all. It could happen, but I think the group behind this initiative is all in. And what I mean all in is that I don't think they are going to stop regardless of what the legislature does or doesn't do. And so they're just going to push ahead and try to get it on the ballot, but also campaign to get it passed. Now, of course, we don't know what the legislature might or might not do, and there's a lot of variables involved in that. And so if they put out something that's similar to this one, then maybe it takes the wind out of this initiative. But if it's a real contrast, for example, then the campaign would just look at what the legislature has done and said, look, we don't like what they're doing, and we think it's terrible, et cetera, and they just push ahead with their campaign.
Let's see if we can work a quick caller question in. It's Roberta calling. Go ahead, Roberta. You're with Luigi.
Thank you. I'm wondering, a lot of people are saying that they're getting a lot of health benefits from the CBD extract from the marijuana. I'm wondering what the THC does that the CBD doesn't do.
Do you have any idea the answer to that, Luigi?
I haven't really looked at the science of it, but I think the major difference that it, and I'm speaking as a layman, so I don't know a whole lot, is that THC, of course, is the part that makes you hallucinate, and then TBD is a part that you can use perhaps to ease. CBD is a part that you can use for really more for medical reasons, either to ease the pain, and we've seen documents in which it's been used for, other purposes as well. We do have hemp CBD that I think is available in our markets already.
Mm-hmm.
The literature I've read, and again, don't hold me to this one, is that there's a difference between hemp CBD or marijuana, hemp CBD, and then in particular marijuana CBD. But you know, I'm really not competent enough to weigh in on the differences.
All right, Luigi, we're going to let you go. I appreciate the time, Luigi Della Porto. Thank you.
Thank you.
Luigi Della Porto from the Arizona Capital Times. Sarah, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up in the paper this weekend. Can you give us a few hints coming up?
Sure. We have on Sunday, well, first on Saturday, we have a column by Fitz talking about cartooning, which is always fun. And then on Sunday, I am going to have a column about weighing in on the impeachment proceedings and talking a bit about my recent trip to Williamsburg and Yorktown and Jamestown and all of that. But we have on Sunday a pair of really interesting pieces from a mother and an adult son talking about the difficulties firsthand of getting mental health care in Tucson. And it's very poignant and very personal and I think very powerful. I hope people will pick up the paper, tune in to Tucson.com for those pieces.
All right. And next Friday, the Friday Focus interview, we just booked Grant Woods, who has lots of things to say. I was just curious about some of his thoughts about how the whole impeachment thing is going to change the campaigning here in Arizona with our federal candidates and even state candidates. So I think there'll be a lot to talk about with Grant next Friday.
Absolutely.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, always a pleasure to see you. You had a great trip to Williamsburg. Boy, I remember those days early on, a young man, Bill Buckmaster, learning about the colonial times and the revolution. Never forgot it. It's a really neat place.
It is. Very complicated parts of our history.
Very much so. Thanks, Sarah. Have a great weekend. All right. Matt Russell coming up with Inside Tucson Business, Food and Beverage Columnist with our Weekend Watch. Jumpstarting the weekend on Buckmaster.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at SierraTucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamori.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org. www.silvercitypima.org.
Stir it up, baby. Time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive to a lovely area, the southwestern corner of the Land of Enchantment. Great time of year to be up in Silver City. That mile-high elevation means the aspens are starting to turn in the high country. See some autumn color. Take the road trip to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of recreation opportunities and some great places to stay. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, and award-winning Tucson publicist. Matt, is it Oktoberfest time already?
It absolutely is. Fall is here, Bill. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. What's going on in the fest?
Well, as you know, tradition holds that the celebration of Oktoberfest actually starts in September.
Ooh.
Like, we can't wait another week for October. And Dillinger Brewing Company on North Oracle Road, they're going to be kicking off the season today. The party actually gets underway in about an hour with plans for the official release of their fest beer, a seasonal brew that just screams fall. The party's going to go all the way up until 10 o'clock. And tomorrow, starting at noon, there's going to be more beer releases, a spread of German streusel, a pub cheese made with some of Dillinger's Serrano chili beer. Why wait for October to start your Oktoberfest? Hop into your Lederhosen and head to Dillinger Brewing Company this weekend.
And they got the right idea. Our Weekend Watch kicks off the weekend, and they're starting the weekend in about an hour. So I like that very much. Papa, let's do it. Greek festival.
Let's do it. You know, as you know, with the guidance from Bon Voyage Travel, I will be heading to Greece in just 3 weeks.
Whoa.
What better way to prepare for the adventure than at the Greek festival this weekend at St. Demetrius Church on Fort Lowell Road? I will be eating my way through gyros and dolmades and spermatopan and saganaki while washing it all down with Greek beers and, of course, some ouzo, Greece's national spirit. Talk about transporting your palate to the Parthenon. I'll be going Greek at the Greek festival this weekend. I hope to see your listeners there.
Well, it's actually kind of a primer for you, a little bit of homework before the big cruise, which is going to be coming up in late October. That cruise countdown has already begun. As you said, it's about 3 weeks away. Cool.
So excited. I can't wait to take our group abroad and experience some of the best culinary cocktail stories on the planet.
October's pumpkin time, my friend.
Yes. You can keep your pumpkin spice latte, Bill. Personally, when I think pumpkin pie and pumpkin cream cheese logs and pumpkin breads and muffins and cinnamon rolls and pumpkin cupcakes. And Pumpkin Palooza officially arrives this weekend at Gourmet Girls Gluten-Free Bakery and Bistro on North Oracle. The girls will definitely be busy during this long pumpkin season. And this just in, this weekend marks the return of their famous pumpkin chili.
Ooh.
For those that like their squash on the savory side, the Great Pumpkin is here at Gourmet Girl.
And quickly, in the Inside Tucson Business column.
Why are people suddenly lining up for racks of ribs at local places that aren't necessarily known for them? Well, I answer this rib riddle in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music that you hear at the beginning and the end of the Buckmaster Show is composed by our friend Chris Stefan. A special shout out to Bob Dio. Bob is my longtime engineer producer, going on to do some other things, but I have a feeling we'll see him back here at KVOI and Bustos Media Tucson on occasion. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Bob.
The voice of Tucson, trusted local news and talk, a Bustos Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour.